we get to that, Dominique, no comment on my new background, the dolphin blue.
Oh, is that what that is?
Fishing for color palette compliments is where we are.
Literally fishing because it's dolphin blue.
I can see it. Well,
dolphins are.
There we go, Pablo. Beat you to it. Beat you to it, Pablo. We all know that, but that's still a jerk thing to do. Like,
yeah.
We all know that they're not fish.
You know what? You know what I just did there? I baited him to, well, actually, well my done. Fish comment. Well done. Welcome to Highly Questionable. I'm Vita Kimes. That's Pablo Torre. That's Dominique Foxworth. I'm not in the second square, and I don't care.
I don't object to the lack of second squareness. I object, Dominique, to the self-assist. You're right. Alley-ooping to
too
yourself.
Many objections. Too many objections. Keep talking, and we're going to throw you back.
Which QB should teams covet more, Deshaun Watson or Mina's formerly beloved Russell Wilson?
So the vultures are circling around some broken NFL relationships this week. Russell Wilson in particular is fascinating to me because he did the thing yesterday via Adam Schefter and his reps where he was like, look, I haven't requested a trade. I want to be on Mina Kimes' Seahawks. But at the same time, if you were to trade me, here are four specific teams I would like. And so that just tells me, okay, I think he wants to be traded, but also he doesn't want to get in trouble with his own employer, who he also hates. So that's confusing to me. On the other end of things, though, Deshaun Watson, like what we know about him via Dan Graziano is that he has none of the subtlety that Russell Wilson is attempting. He met with David Culley, the new first-year head coach, and said to him, I don't want to play for you at all. And that was his first conversation with the guy. Like, he does not want to budge one bit off of the idea that he needs to leave the Houston Texans right now. So for me, if I'm choosing, if I'm coveting in this construction we have forced ourselves into on a sports talk show, I am saying, give me the younger guy, give me the better guy, give me Deshaun Watson and his bluntness.
Wow, you had it at younger. You added a word that you did not need to add that obviously was just slid in there in order to upset and trigger Mina Kimes. So well done, sir. They're both very good young quarterbacks. You can't go wrong with this. They're both going to be expensive and get more and more expensive as they become free agents. So I don't think that you can differentiate, and I refuse to do so. All I care about is seeing what Seattle does after Russell leaves, because Russell's leaving. Like what he's done now, it seems gentle, it seems polite, it seems like he's just setting people up. But given that it's Russell Wilson, like this is setting the whole building on fire for nice guy Russ, Mina. So go ahead and sell your jersey, burn it, do whatever you got to do. Start prepping
tattoo
yourself
removal.
Mentally. Yeah, you got to get the tattoo removed. Mentally prepare yourself for a future without Russell Wilson because it's coming.
I'm going to address the question and ignore what my colleague, Mr. Foxworth, said, which was Watson or Wilson, because I do think it's an interesting question, and it's a debatable one. Like, based on recent performance, I can see why people are leaning Watson. Wilson struggled in the second half of the season last year, but if you expand that scope to the last 3 years, Russell Wilson has outperformed Deshaun Watson, passer rating, QBR, adjusted completion percentage, interception percentage, whatever you look at, he has been better. That said, Deshaun Watson is 6 years younger and his contract is 2 years longer. So if I was Mina Kimes' GM, I would choose Watson. Mina Kimes' fan has this to say. Which of my jerseys should I, let's see. No, this one. This
oh, you're one. Collecting them all so you can burn them all at once. I got it.
No,
Let Russ
leave. Let him
leave.
Go.
Please.
Let
okay.
Russ
leave
Russ. Your ego
no,
to the point
please.
Where you stop caring
Russell?
About football.
Russell.
Who are you
please
talking
don't leave.
To?
Please don't leave. I'm talking to the camera. I'm talking to Russell Wilson. I lived through Dilfer. I lived through Kitna. I lived through Meyer. I cannot go through this again. I can't do that again. Think of me. We will get through. We will get you offensive linemen. We will call a quarterback-friendly offense. We will pass on early downs, whatever it takes. Just don't leave me.
The desperation is palpable, and it hurts. It's embarrassing for me.
I pulled this out of my jersey
way,
pile.
Stop. Dominique did raise a great, what? Oh my, Mina. Like, I don't think you
days,
should show
Russell.
That on television.
We it's can like, go back to the days where we were number one in DVOA. It wasn't that long ago. What else do I have here? Ooh, Earl Thomas. Don't want to.
Wait, hold on. Wait.
There's you don't even give us time Did to you? Properly, yeah, properly wait, clown you Thomas. For the last one.
No, forget about the human beings on your jersey. Did you make that yourself?
Of course
you
did.
No, we don't care about Kuna Ford right now. The DVOA jersey, you ordered that on the internet yourself.
Yeah, she typed it in. She customized that.
It was a gift.
From you to you?
Is it time to panic if the Lakers lose their fifth straight game?
So the only thing better than actual panic is hypothetical panic, because we get to actually imbue it with some sort of like moral urgency. Like, you need to panic. If you don't panic, you've made a terrible mistake. And there is an argument for that on the level of the Lakers right now are bad. They lost to the Wizards. They lost to the Heat. They lost to the T-Wolves. They don't look anything like a team that should be contending for an NBA title. The counter argument, though, which is where my rational brain enters the equation, is that they don't have Anthony Davis. They don't have Dennis Schroeder. So to me, you panic about this if you're somebody who believes in like Lakers exceptionalism and you kind of forgot that the previous 5 years before you got LeBron James, you were truly awful. And then when you got LeBron James for that first season, you were sub 500 and you kind of need Anthony Davis as much as LeBron James to win an NBA title to do anything. So if you're that guy, I am sorry that your brain is that kind of a place. And yeah, you should be absolutely freaked out right now.
So this is the worst stretch of the LeBron James, Anthony Davis Lakers regime. And as Pablo points out, Anthony Davis hasn't been playing. So it makes sense. And on some level, that's what you get when you build a big two. You sacrifice depth and you lose games. And there's no reason to panic because Anthony Davis is coming back after the All-Star break. That said, going into the season, the concern about the Lakers wasn't just the lack of depth. It was also the lack of rest. They're coming off of the shortest offseason in the history of the NBA, having won the championship in the bubble. And when I watch them, they look tired. LeBron looks maxed out. And even when you get Anthony Davis back, those things might not go away. So as a Lakers fan, I'm not panicked, but I am a little bit concerned by what I'm seeing.
First of all, this question is amazing, because when does anyone ever suggest to anyone else, you know what it's time to do? Panic. Like, the question that we're trying to tell them, the panic, has anyone ever advised anyone in the history of anything? Like, you know what you're doing wrong right now is you're not quite panicked enough. So no, it's certainly not a time for panic, because it's never a time for panic. And it's certainly not right now when you have the Lakers, who are third place in the West. And let's be honest, if Anthony Davis is healthy, Schroeder's healthy, and the playoffs started today, and the Lakers were in any of the seven-game series that they could be in, who are you picking? Like, I'm not concerned about the Lakers at this point. All the points that you guys made, I think, work for reasons why, to explain why they have lost six of their last seven. They also are reasons why they should be concerned, but they're also reasons why they should be optimistic. Like, the idea of having Anthony Davis resting right now is probably a good thing for their playoff run, because Anthony Davis got hurt in the playoffs last year, and that was the only time we were a little concerned about their team's future. So having a healthy, rested AD, and LeBron, apparently he's some sort of cyborg, so it doesn't matter how much he rests or how healthy he is, but having both of those guys healthy and rested in the playoffs is much better than winning two or three more games in a season where the playoffs are not even going to have home crowds. Like, there is no reason to be panicked if there is ever a reason to tell someone to panic.
I think the people who are panicking right now are the people who may or may not be negotiating live rights for NBA regular season games, who do segments like this, and they're like, wait a minute. All we're doing is setting up the people we employ to say these games actually don't really matter all that much.
They matter a lot, because what we learned over the last couple of weeks, a big three is better than a big two.
What level of sass is Mina attempting right there?
I said Nets in five. You missed it. I said Nets in five.
We heard you say that. We were not offended by that. We were offended by this move that you did.
Yeah, the shoulders, the snaps. There were some snaps in there that I detected.
That's like the physical manifestation of like, I don't like to yell. So instead of yelling, I am like using my shoulders to convey that I'm enunciating.
Oh man, it looked like fake confidence come to life. That's what it was. Like, someone who doesn't really believe in themselves, but they're just like, all right, give me some of this. That'll make you buy it. Nets in five.
Those are some good shoulders.
Up next on HQ.
We already know what's going to happen. We already know.
Well, we know he's not going to die because it's HQ and they would never actually show us a snuff film. No,
this might be the last show. We might be going out.
Do you question who choked harder, the Pelicans or the Nuggets?
So we'll start with the Pelicans, who were down three, and then all of this happened. And the Buck. And Lonzo Ball winds up with the basketball in the end here, moving it around. Yep.
Lonzo.
Yeah, Lonzo is
my guy.
There he is.
A little late after the offensive foul.
Little late. Lonzo's like good at shooting now.
Yes. We're all ready to roast and be like, of course, Lonzo Ball doesn't want to shoot. And then the producer got in our ears and was like, actually, he was 6-for-10 for three in this game. And we're like, oh, dang.
Which means that should be pretty heartbreaking then. But let's compare and contrast with the Nuggets. They're down two to the Wizards.
Yeah, this is 100% worse.
That's okay, four people against one two defender. Points. And Jamal Murray, one of the best offensive players in the league, does that. Like,
reminder,
he got roasted.
2 points. They are down 2 points.
Absolutely roasted for pulling up and then giving up the ball. The bench, if you can play that video again, the bench, they do the safe at home sign. And to see that as soon as you release the basketball wide open, wildly wide open, in fact, there it is. Just sad. Just sad. So I'm going to go with that second one myself.
Yeah, you're obviously right. I think the second one is worse because they could have just dunked it and tied the game. But I don't know that I would qualify the first one as choking. Choking is like you get tight when you're shooting and you're getting nervous. Yeah. Lemon booty is you just overall full body panic, which we've discussed earlier today. Never tell somebody to panic.
You know what happened in the second clip? Dominique pointed out actually they could have just dunked, but they went for the three. Analytics strikes again. The nerd brain was telling them you gotta shoot three because three is bigger than two. And look what happened again.
I was gonna jump on that argument and then I remember that I'm not the one who has a DVOA jersey.
It was a gift.
Do you question if this guy reacted well under pressure?
So the only two words I know about this video we're gonna watch together is motorcycle and Vietnam.
Oh no.
Oh no, live leak in the top left.
No.
We already know what's going to happen. We already know.
Well, we know he's not going to die because it's HQ and they would never actually show us a snuff film. No,
this
we
might
know.
Be the last show. We might be going out with a blaze of glory. Oh, man. So, I mean, first of all, I'm disappointed in Mina for trying to suck all of the drama out of the situation. It might have gone bad. You don't know. This might be the time. It was very exciting. You tried to, spoiler alert, nothing. And Hold on. Second of all, I'm disgusted with his awareness. Like, okay, at the end, he showed some athleticism and agility, but your awareness is terrible. You get yourself clothesline, strike one awareness, and then you lay on the tracks like you didn't know the tracks were there. Strike two awareness, terrible awareness, good agility and recovery.
Why are we piling on this guy? By merely saying we know he didn't die, it excuses the fact that that dude just had his entire like motorcycle ruined and almost died. So I'm sorry to our Vietnamese friend who profited $0 off of this live leak video. I have great sympathy that we are profiting off of all of your misfortune. Yeah.
I, too, would like to support our Asian brother who overcame massive odds to save his life. And Dominic, as far as me ruining the drama, I literally read the Wikipedia plots for horror movies before I watch them so that I won't be scared. You think I'm going to watch a video like that and not remind myself that he's going to live beforehand? Absolutely not.
Do you guys want to take a look at that clip one more time? I think we actually know the guy on the train tracks.
Really?
You know, I know that wasn't Izzy because the real shirtless Izzy would have just sat there as the train got destroyed around him.
Talk about a segment going off the rails.
Tomorrow night at 8:30 p.m. Eastern, Mavericks and Nets.
So I am super intrigued by this because the Sixers just destroyed the Mavericks. This feels like a good test of the Nets and of Mina Kimes and her fake fandom. So let's see how we're going to preview this game.
Oh, Myles Garrett.
So Myles Garrett
natural.
Is
Jesus
like a fake person? I don't know how a person at 6'4" can do all of that and do it in a Jurassic Park tank top that's tie-dyed. But he tweeted Mark Cuban and said, hey, do you need a guard? And I feel like the answer should be yes, based on this video.
A big guard. The first time I saw this clip, I was slightly impressed with Myles Garrett. But what I ended up thinking of more than anything was like, wow, Zion Williamson is incredible. Because Myles Garrett looks smooth, but Zion Williamson does these things in such a much more basketball-y way. It just is so impressive that that sentient barrel of dynamite that is Zion Williamson can do all the things that he does when a man who looks like this makes it look kind of clumsy in comparison.
So that sounds like Dominique is intrigued. Mina Kimes, yeah, sure. Are you?
If the Nets win this game, they will be 8-0 since I became a super fan. If they lose, it's because KD didn't play.
You know what the cause is? You know what 8-0 is cause for? A little bit of shoulder shake. Celebrate.
Am I saying that I should be on the parade when the Nets win the championship because of the obvious effect I've had on the team? No, I'm not. Some people are saying that, not me. I'm not saying it. I mean, I've seen it on the internet. It's not something I endorse, but, you know, it's out there.
Tonight at 8 p.m. Eastern, Jazz and Heat.
So Jimmy Butler was a guest of our friend Rachel Nichols, and Rachel Nichols pointed out that Jimmy Butler was a clue on Jeopardy. Let's watch.
You were just a clue on Jeopardy.
And the final clue, Hoops for 1000. Recently, this baller barista launched Big Face Coffee and turned his new team, the Miami Heat, into a title contender.
$1,000?
We were looking for Jimmy Butler.
Yeah, I think he should have done a better job of describing me. And $1,000, that's not enough. They were probably like, we need like $2,000. That'd be, you know, well worth knowing who that individual is. I wouldn't answer who I was for $1,000, just to let you know.
Jimmy Butler, man, they showed your face. They said, who is this man? And they said, we have no idea. The only person who should be more offended by that is anyone on the Utah Jazz, because that's how we're previewing the best team in the NBA playing another basketball game. Dominique, are you intrigued?
I am intrigued by the basketball, excuse me, but I'm more intrigued by seeing that Jeopardy clip all the way played out, because I want to see the people who did not get this right, because I've imagined a scenario where it's three white people who are nervous about saying the wrong black person, and they're just like, you know what? I'm just going to opt out. I think one of them knew it was Jimmy Butler, but they were like, what if I say it's Jimmy Butler and it's really not? Then I'm going to look like I don't know what's going on. Like, that's all I'm thinking about. So now I'm going to leave the show just so I can Google that clip.
Oh, man. Mina Kimes, are you intrigued?
I am intrigued. There's nothing I love more than how bad at sports people are when they go on Jeopardy. This is one of my favorite clips involving football.
Football 200.
Your choice, do or don't name this play in which the quarterback runs the ball and can choose to pitch it to another back. It's an option play. Ryan?
Football 400.
I can tell you guys are big football fans.
Yeah.
Tom Landry perfected the shotgun formation with this team. Dallas Cowboys. Do you think we should go to commercial? Ryan?
Take it down to 600.
Okay, by signaling for one of these, a returner can reel in a kick without fear of getting tackled. Fair catch. Two clues left, Ryan.
800.
These penalties are simultaneous violations by the offense and defense that cancel each other out. And they are called offsetting penalties. Let's look at the $1,000 clue, just for the fun of it. Jimmy?
As Minneapolis's U.S. Bank Stadium prepares to host Super Bowl 52, I'm looking at the Ring of Honor with names from this defensive line that took the Vikings to four Super Bowls.
Who are the purple people eating?
I mean, you could get one in those categories. Like, they could have gotten one.
I agree,
one.
Dominique.
Like, I mean,
I agree.
In all those difficult categories, obviously, I'm not sweeping them. But I'm able to grab one just because it's a popular name. Like, they don't know shotgun formation.
It is a Friday afternoon. That was highly questionable. That is Mina Kimes, who can be found on every single inch of ESPN. That is Dominique Foxworth, who can somehow make Mike Greenberg cooler by yelling at him. Thank you for watching.
Sorry to derail this, but I just have to point out what Pablo's hair reminds me of.
This is a must. This is important.
Trying to do television here, but sure.
I think she
is derail
too,
Pablo. All of
this. I'm going to nail this, Pablo,
but she is also trying to do television, and it's going to be better than whatever analysis we offer. Oh, is that, what is that, a cockatoo?
It's a cockatoo, yeah.
Oh, man.
Look at his, look, that, he's got the little crest.
Hold on, other way, Mina, other way, opposite, there we go.
Let me just say this, that cockatoo wishes.